In the previous episode of Czech Life, we brought you the first part of Lilian Šošová's life story. The 92-year-old Englishwoman is one of the hundreds of English war brides who went home with their Czechoslovak husbands after the war. Lilian came to Czechoslovakia with Joseph, a tankist from the Armored Brigade who was stationed in the United Kingdom in 1945. In this episode, she talks about her life after the war, her difficulties learning Czech, her unusual career, and how she feels about it all today. When Lilian Pipps met her Czechoslovak husband-to-be Josef Schoš in Stratford-upon-Avon, he did not know a word of English except please. But he learned quickly so that he could take her out on a proper date. After the couple got married and relocated to Josef's native Czechoslovakia in 1945, it was Lilian's turn to learn a new language. Because she did not speak any Czech at first and Josef had been wounded in the war, Lilian took a job sorting coal at a coal mine in Most, where the couple had settled with their daughter Anna, who was born in January 1942. During her shifts at the coal mine, the young mother did her best to learn Czech, but it was not easy for her to master the new language.
They were very difficult years, and especially the language. Look, in English, we've only got four parts of speech. And in the Czechs, I've got seven. Whatever four, I don't know. No. The language is, well, was terrible. But at the coal mine, of course, I started with my dictionaries and that. I used to write on the morning shift, which was from 6 till 2 in the afternoon, 10 words. And when we had our lunchtime, I learnt them. And then they tried me out.
Sometimes her problems learning Czech resulted in quite humorous situations, Lilian says. It was difficult to keep all the new words straight, especially if she worked a long night shift.
And at the beginning, I must tell you this, I made so many mistakes. I was saying, instead of saying you to everybody, I was saying, instead of saying the, your, I was saying tea to everybody. Until my mother-in-law heard me. Oh, my goodness. She was very cross that I didn't speak Czech. No, that's all gone. That's all finished. But I had quite a lot of difficulties. I made some mistakes too. As I told you, at the coal mine, I learned 10 words in the morning at the shift. And then in the night, because I was alone on the trains. So I learned 20 words. And one evening, I learned the words from from the letter K. Kitchen and that sort of cooking, you know. And then in the morning, I got Annie ready for school and that. And I went to the shop for bread. And instead of saying I wanted round bread, I said I wanted knicker bread. They did laugh. And Ivy said, I'd never go into that shop again. Yeah, I would never go into that shop again. And I said, why not? I learned a lot of Czech by mistakes. A lot. I said, in the night I learned kulati, your kalhoti, kulati, ato. And I just said, instead of saying kulati kleba, I said kalhoti kleba.
Lilian was not one to be discouraged by the difficulties her life in a foreign country posed and took setbacks in stride. In 1947, her son Robert was born, and after a year and a half of doing the dirty and strenuous work in the coal mine sorting shaft, she was moved to the accounting department. Of course, her husband was also a great help to her during those first years, and he tried to also teach her Czech, especially romantic vocabulary.
Of course, Joseph taught me very, very soon to say, I love you, give me a kiss.
And how do you say that?
Milují tebe, dej mi pusu. No, to mi učil.
But despite her sunny disposition, Lillian did struggle at times. Josef was given a very low pension and was increasingly frustrated that he could not financially take care of his family. Often the situation at home was tense. Lillian says that instead of the military honors the Czechoslovak state gave him, she would have appreciated a higher pension for her husband.
I said if they'd have kept these papers and given him when we needed the money, when the children were small. And I had to work at that coal mine. And that, I don't mind, though. I don't mind that I worked at the coal mine. I was quite happy there.
Aside from the meager pension, Lillian and Josef, unlike many couples in similar situations, did not get to feel the wrath of the communists. Josef was never imprisoned, and Lillian was only called in for interrogation by the police once.
I was called to the police office at Litvinov. They said they thought perhaps I was a spy, but I told them that I wasn't a silly person, but I wasn't clever enough to be a spy. Then that was all okay after that.
Lillian's fate should take a turn for the better in the early 1950s, when she was given what she still describes as a wonderful opportunity. The local post office needed someone to help out covering their routes, and Lillian was just the woman for the job.
Then in 1951, I started as a postwoman. And as a postwoman, I worked for 25 years. But on a huge route, I'll show you my route. I got it, how we had to plan it. Of course, Josef died in 1974. And I helped out if somebody needed me at the post office, like some of the postwomen had to go to the doctors or had to go to the dentist or they wanted somebody to do their route. So they just phoned Lillian, go, will you do my route tomorrow? So I helped at the post office till 1980.
Lillian was not able to travel back home often, but she says that after a while her busy schedule helped her not feel homesick.
I used to get a bit homesick, yeah, but I didn't have time to get homesick. Work as a postwoman, it was not only delivering letters. At the first few years, there was no television. So we had to collect only for radio licenses. In Lom, there's a lot of flats and that belonged to the coal mine. We had to collect the rents for them. We had to deliver all the magazines. They weren't in the shops like today. And we had to collect money for them as well. It was a full-time job. And I was lucky that Josef was a good cook because he had an invalid pension all his life.
After her husband, Josef, died in 1974, Lillian took on yet another job, one that she says she also enjoyed very much.
I was an active, as I said, for a social worker for children in Lom, because there's started quite a lot of Romavi. I don't like to call them gypsies, because I have a Rom here next door. Very intelligent man. But, as I say, there were a lot of children in these Romi families. And we had to see if they were neglected or anything. So I did that for over 20 years with my post office job, though.
But her eventful professional life did not end there. In 1981, Lillian moved from Lom, the small suburb near Most, where Josef and her had first settled, to Lipno nad Vltavo in southern Bohemia, where she helped out at the ROH, a communist trade union organization.
And I hadn't been there long. and they asked me if I'd take the library over. And, of course, I've good eyesight. And, oh, I was thrilled. I thought, I love reading, and I love embroidering, and I was never without knitting in my hands. And I said, oh, I don't know. I help out some at the Eroha. Oh, well, it's only once a week. So I took that on and did it for 21 years, the library. And when I was 85, I had to finish because of my eyesight.
Her fading eyesight has become a real thorn in Lillian's side. When I visited her in her tiny apartment in Lom, to where she has since moved back, Lillian showed me how tidy all her drawers are since she cannot knit or embroider anymore. Not keeping busy, that is just inconceivable to her, she says. Now, at 92, Lillian has two children who themselves are pensioners and a family of five generations. Despite the financial pressures of her early days in Czechoslovakia, Lillian raised her two children to work hard and enjoys being a grandmother, a great-grandmother, and a great-great-grandmother.
I didn't have enough money to let our Robert, as I say, he was a brilliant boy at school, but we hadn't got the money to pay for him to go higher, because they have to pay for half the books and that here, and I don't know what, and all. But he worked, and he's just gone to pension. He's a pensioner.
So both you and your two children are pensioners now.
I and my two children are pensioners. I have two children. I have seven grandchildren. I have 11 great-grandchildren. And I have four great-great-grandchildren.
Lillian still makes a point of walking in her apartment building's corridor to keep fit and moves through her small kitchen swiftly, cooking tea, pulling out photo albums, and chatting about this and that. It is hard to imagine that someone so at peace with themselves would have any regrets, but I still put the question to her.
No. None. Look, I believe in osud, what's that in English?
Destiny.
Yes, I expect you call that. I believe what's in store for me will happen. And that's happened all my life. I keep a good average on everything. On everything. It doesn't matter if it's food or whatever it is. I keep a good average. I've got my routine here. And it's a small one, but it's my routine.
This interview with Lillian was recorded in late March. Lillian fell ill in June and died at the age of 92 on June 25th, 2012. That was the life story of Lillian Skojova, a truly remarkable woman.